Headlines: the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza continues for 165th day, while the death toll surpasses 31,800. France's UN envoy says Gaza's situation is absolutely catastrophic, urging the international body to overcome its inaction and declare an immediate ceasefire. And the Israeli occupation forces carry out night raids on several areas in the West Bank, including two young Palestinians. Welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gizumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. The Gaza Strip is reeling from endless Israeli bombardment, with its people remaining in a state of despair and agony. The regime has carried out fresh attacks across the territory, including in Rafah Governorate, where at least 14 Palestinians have lost their lives.
There's no safe area. They're saying that this is a safe area, but there are no safe areas. They're hitting in every direction. They don't care about people. They're hitting everywhere.
A number of others were also injured in the airstrikes on Rafah. In central Gaza, Israel's artillery shelled the vicinity of both Nusrat and Burej refugee camps. Several neighborhoods in Gaza City were also bombed as well. Israel unleashed its genocide in Gaza in early October. Over 31,800 Palestinians have killed so far, most of them women and children. The war rages on in Gaza while the Holy Ramadan is there, and severe food shortages has devastated people. The U.S. Secretary of State has expressed concern over the acute food shortage in the Gaza Strip and the dire humanitarian situation there.
Again, according to the most respected measure of these things, 100% of the population in Gaza is at severe levels of acute food insecurity. That's the first time an entire population has been so classified. We also see, again, according to, in this case, the United Nations, 100%, the totality of the population, is in need of humanitarian assistance.
Lincoln made the comments in the Philippines before heading to Egypt and Saudi Arabia, where he would make a new push for a ceasefire in Gaza. Ironically enough, Blinken's called concern over the food shortage in Gaza and his attempts to secure a peace deal has come as Washington has time and again vetoed the UN Security Council resolutions on the ceasefire. The White House also keeps supplying arms and munitions to Tel Aviv. Moreover, the U.S. has refused to help with efforts to open the Rafah border crossing to allow aid into Gaza. France's ambassador and permanent representative at the United Nations has called on the Security Council to take action on the dire situation in Gaza.
So far, the Security Council has only been able to adopt two humanitarian resolutions, which, by the way, are not implemented. These councils need to do more, to do it now, and take up its responsibility. It cannot wait any longer. So this is why France requested close consultation on the situation in Gaza today. We want the members of this council to have a honest conversation on which measures can be taken by this council to stop this conflict. Well, we are supposed to take different steps. Now, the emergency is to do what I just said, an immediate ceasefire during Ramadan, release of hostages and full humanitarian access. So this is what the Security Council should do now, not next week. I'm talking about the next 24 or 48 hours. There is no reason to procrastinate further. No reason.
Riviere also described the humanitarian situation in the besieged Palestinian territory as absolutely catastrophic. He urged that this is not a natural disaster, but a war that should stop now, and that the Security Council cannot continue to procrastinate. France has been pushing for a ceasefire in Israel's war on Gaza. However, the 15-member UN body has failed to pass resolutions due to consistent U.S. vetoes. Since Israel launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October, Washington has vetoed three draft resolutions, two of them calling for an immediate ceasefire. In our news review program, we discussed with our guests the growing calls, including from France, for a coordinated international action to establish an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Let's take a listen.
Nassim Hubsai is a Palestinian scientist and author who joins us from Bethlehem. We also have Barry Grossman, international lawyer, who joins us from Bali, Indonesia. Gentlemen, welcome. Nassim Hubsai, I'll first start with you. The French ambassador showing to the UN, showing his frustration, saying that something needs to be done, but the EU as a whole is partly also responsible for what is happening in the Gaza Strip. So that claim somewhat falls on deaf ears, so to speak, because they are the ones also partly responsible. But really, it then comes to the U.S. role in this whole genocidal conflict. Isn't the U.S. the one that also should be held responsible on a large scale on this genocidal war that's taking place?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for having this discussion, because it's very, very important. The world has failed Gaza. It has failed human rights. The UN resolutions that have been made, Israel is in violation of over 35 UN Security Council resolutions, including 242 and 338, which call acquisition of territory by force illegal, and Israel is occupying Gaza and the West Bank since 1967, and also the Golan Heights. So Israel violates UN Security Council resolutions that are already adopted, and that's not counting the dozens and dozens of UN Security Council resolutions that the U.S. vetoes, as your report indicated. The U.S. vetoed at least three resolutions, and they used threat of veto on several others just in the past few months since this genocide, latest round of genocide, started. So I think France is hypocritical in many ways. You know, they support Israel, they support it financially, they support it with military equipment and weapons. They supported it at the UN in numerous occasions. So they cannot claim now suddenly that they saw the light or that they are calling for a ceasefire. If they are calling for a ceasefire, they need to stand up to who prevents a ceasefire, and that is their patron, the United States. And they are not willing to stand up to the United States. Instead, what we see is more of the same and more genocide going on every day, every minute, and the world is silent.
Barry Grossman, do you agree with what our guest there says? Especially, I'd like to ask you about what the French UN ambassador said, where he said something needs to be done now within the next 24 to 48 hours. Who is he addressing that part of his statement to?
Absolutely, I agree with what our colleague said. I think it doesn't take much imagination to appreciate just how hypocritical France has been. I mean, we can give credit where credit's due, but basically passing the buck back to the Security Council or even the ICC without the ICJ, without taking a firm position in opposition to the players that are making all this happening, rings rather hollow. And frankly speaking, the level of political and institutional inertia in the face of this massive crime against humanity, which includes all manner of war crimes and, of course, ethnic cleansing and genocide and all the rest, is truly astounding. Anybody who's still breathing only needs to make themselves aware of what's taking place in Gaza on a daily basis, and in no small part in the West Bank, too. to appreciate just how outrageously unlawful the occupation is conducting itself in the current situation. And really, everybody should be standing up. Every nation should be standing up and demanding a ceasefire, without simply talking about, you know, asking, you know, it's not good enough to say that Hamas would release its prisoners of war when the occupation has something in the order of 10,000 prisoners taken unlawfully, very often without any charges or trial or right of appeal. Women and children and everything else. And I think somewhere in there, there has to be a way to reach a resolution. But if there's not, it's high time that nations started calling out the big players, namely the United Kingdom, the United States, and even France itself. And of course, the court. As for the UN, the fact that we still have a Security Council with five permanent members that enjoy an absolute power of veto is outrageous. Certainly, that veto power should never be allowed to be invoked in order to stop a program to resolve what ultimately is a crime against humanity.
Very well. Thank you so much for that. We do appreciate your comments there. That's Mazen Umsaya, Palestinian scientist and author. And thank you, Barry Grossman, international lawyer from Bali, Indonesia. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
The former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has hailed the U.S. Senate Majority Leader for urging early Israeli elections to replace the regime's current Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Olmert sent a letter to Chuck Schumer several days after the Democratic senator called Netanyahu a major obstacle to peace in Gaza. The former Israeli Prime Minister lauded Schumer for his courage to express how traditional supporters of Israel feel today. Olmert added that Netanyahu is unable to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to him. Schumer's call for a replacement of Netanyahu was also praised by Israeli opposition leader Yair Lapid. He said Netanyahu is losing Israel's biggest supporters. Schumer's remarks have signaled a widening rift between the Israeli regime and the U.S., a country that has been complicit in Gaza genocide. The call for a snap election has angered Netanyahu, who responded by saying that Israel is not a banana republic. And the Israeli occupation forces have confirmed the death of yet another trooper in Gaza in clashes with Palestinian resistance fighters. Israeli media say the soldier was killed near Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's largest medical facility, that was stormed again on Sunday, resulting in deaths and injuries. Israel has so far confirmed the death of 251 military personnel since the launching of the ground invasion of Gaza late in October. Palestinian groups, however, say that the regime is intentionally hiding the real number of casualties among its forces to avoid public anger. Now, the Israeli military has carried out fresh raids across the occupied West Bank as the regime presses ahead with its offensive against Palestinians. In the latest such attacks, Israeli forces raided the town of Yamun, west of the city of Jenin, as well as a Palestinian refugee camp east of the city of Nablus. The regime forces abducted several people after storming Palestinian homes. Clashes also erupted between Israeli troops and resistance forces, which targeted soldiers and bulldozers with explosive devices. The Israeli military has intensified its violent raids across the West Bank since October 7th, the day when the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza. Hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and thousands abducted during Israeli incursions into the occupied towns and cities ever since. And the Yemeni Foreign Ministry has censured a UN Security Council statement against the country's anti-Israeli operations in the Red Sea. The ministry said the UNSC move reflects the body's submission to America's interests and its support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Sana'a also blasted the council for its inaction towards the daily massacre of Palestinians. The Yemeni ministry pledged that the forces would continue their operations in the Red Sea until Israel ends its onslaught on Gaza. Reactions came after the 15-member council condemned the attack on commercial vessels in the Red Sea while urging restraint to avoid further escalation. This despite the Yemeni armed forces have repeatedly announced that ships, or except those heading to Israeli ports, are free and safe to sail through the waterway. However, recently they have also targeted American and British ships in order to retaliate for the two countries' aggressions against Yemeni people. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Donald Trump has rallied for Bernie Moreno during the final days of a heated Ohio Senate GOP primary. Opinion polls show a competitive three-way race, with Bernie Moreno's supporters are worried about a late surge by State Senator Matt Dolan. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump claimed that he and not President Biden will protect Social Security and warned of a bloodbath if he loses in November as he campaigned for Senate candidate Bernie Moreno in Ohio. Donald Trump speaking on a wind-whipped airfield outside of Dayton, Ohio on Saturday, 16th of March, praised his chosen candidate in the race as an America First champion and political outsider who has spent his entire life building up Ohio communities. "He's going to be a warrior in Washington," Trump said, just days after securing enough delegates to clinch the 2024 Republican nomination. Bernie Moreno faces Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose and Ohio State Senator Matt Dolan in Tuesday's GOP primary. Frank LaRose and Bernie Moreno have aligned themselves with the pro-Trump faction of the party, while Matt Dolan is backed by more establishment Republicans, including Governor Mike DeWine and former Senator Rob Portman. Saturday's rally was hosted by Buckeye Values PAC, a group backing Moreno's candidacy. But Donald Trump used the stage to deliver a profanity-filled version of his usual rally speech that again painted an apocalyptic picture of the country if Joe Biden wins a second term in office. "If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country," he warned, while talking about the impact of offshoring on the country's auto industry and his plans to increase tariffs on foreign-made cars. Later, Donald Trump claimed that, "If this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country." Trump repeatedly noted his difficulty reading from his teleprompters, which could be seen visibly whipping in 35-mile-per-hour wind gusts. In a statement in response to Trump's bloodbath comments on Saturday, 16th of March, James Singer, spokesperson for the Biden presidential campaign, said, "Trump wants another January 6, but the American people are going to give him another electoral defeat this November because they continue to reject his extremism, his affection for violence, and his thirst for revenge." When reached by CBS News in an attempt to clarify Trump's bloodshed remark, Jason Miller, senior advisor for the Trump campaign, responded that any reporter that falls for this Biden camp spin is stupid. Donald Trump also dismissed recent allegations against Bernie Moreno, comparing them to attacks he has faced through the years, including his criminal indictments. Trump has been charged in four separate cases that span his handling of classified documents to his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. "He's getting some very tough Democrat fake treatment right now," Trump said, "and we're not going to stand for it because I know this man, we all know this man, he's a hero and he's a winner, and he's not going to let these people are sick." Moreno's potential vulnerability in a general election, according to seven people who are directly familiar with their conversations about how to address the matter. They requested anonymity to avoid running afoul of Donald Trump and his allies. Trump, in his remarks, also accused Joe Biden of posing a threat to Social Security as he continued to clean up comments from an interview earlier this week in which he appeared to voice openness to cuts. "Your Social Security is going to be gone," he warned of a Biden second term, even though Biden has pledged to protect and strengthen Social Security as it faces a projected budget shortfall. "You will not be able to have Social Security with this guy in office because he's destroying the economics of our country. And that includes Medicare, by the way, and American seniors are going to be in big trouble." Trump added, "I made a promise that I will always keep Social Security and Medicare. We always will keep it. We will never cut it." The comments came after Trump, in an interview with CNBC, answered a question about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid by saying that there's a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of almost the theft that the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amount of things and numbers of things that you can do. Trump also continued to criticize Joe Biden over his handling of the border with Mexico and the migrant crisis. He also laced into Matt Dolan, calling him a weak rhino, a Republican in name only, and accused him of trying to become the next Mitt Romney. He also criticized the Dolan family, which owns Cleveland's baseball team, for changing its name from the Cleveland Indians to the Cleveland Guardians. Trump was joined at the rally by Ohio Senator J.D. Vance and South Dakota Governor Chrissy Noem. The website Politico has also covered the same story. Former President Donald Trump parachuted into the final days of an increasingly vicious Senate GOP contest in Ohio to boost his preferred pick, Bernie Moreno. Next Tuesday's primary is a heated three-way brawl between Bernie Moreno, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, and State Senator Matt Dolan. Matt Dolan, the scion of a family who owns the Cleveland Guardians baseball team, has been surging in the closing stretch, with recent opinion polls showing the race as a toss-up. That's turned the race into a test of Donald Trump's clout in the state of Ohio. While Bernie Moreno has the backing of Trump and other MAGA figures, Matt Dolan has the support of the Ohio Republican establishment, picking up endorsements in recent days from Governor Mike DeWine and former Ohio Senator Rob Portman. Trump took aim at Matt Dolan on Saturday, 16th of March, calling him a weak rhino who is trying to become the next Mitt Romney. He revived a long-running complaint against Dolan's family that they changed the name of the baseball team that they own from Cleveland Indians to the Cleveland Guardians because they're easily pushed around by the woke left-wing lunatics. It's almost like they're in charge of a trust fund, Trump said, mocking the new moniker. He asked the crowd twice to cheer if they wanted to keep the original name. Towards the end of his speech, Donald Trump called Bernie Moreno to the stage. Moreno took a veiled shot at Matt Dolan, who in both his previous and current Senate bids has sought to distance himself from Donald Trump's personality and sought to discuss conservative policies only. Trump has long been considered a kingmaker in GOP primaries, but he drew criticism in 2022 after several of his picks flopped in the general election, blowing key races and a shot at the Senate majority. National Republicans moved the cycle to clear primary paths in other states for candidates they consider the most electable, though the Senate GOP campaign arm has stayed neutral in Ohio.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi at-Tayyibin at-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers. based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 151st sermon of Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam is basically addressing a group of Arabs with regards to certain difficulties that they are going to face and preparing them for being able to face some challenges in the near future. And this is a very good example for people who are in a leadership position as to what should be their role when they kind of foresee a challenge coming ahead, and when should they start to prepare themselves for challenges. What are those, you can say, signs that a person needs to be careful about to be able to prepare himself as a leader and his community and his group to be able to face those challenges, and how should he deal with these situations? This is a good example from the statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam that can be helpful in pertaining to this topic. Inshallah, very soon we shall delve into that discussion.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam in this statement says, very important statement, and he says that فَاتَّقُوا سَكَرَاتٍ نِعْمَةٍ, that be very careful about being drunk or being confused, or you can say being overwhelmed with the blessings. سَكَرَاتٍ نِعْمَةٍ, basically سَكَرَت means as a state of drunkenness, when a person, you know, becomes so much engrossed in those blessings that he feels that life is too good and everything is going on well, and it's a type of, you can say it's a type of madness that a person achieves and feels when they have all these blessings. As such, as I said previously, when blessings start to come, you need to start to focus more on what you need to do very soon, otherwise things can get out of hand. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say that وَحْذَرُوا بَوَائِقَ النِّقْمَةِ, and he says that, O people, I warn you of the difficult punishments that you can face. بَوَائِق, بَوَائِق basically means difficulties. He warns them of those difficulties that come because of the punishment of God. بَوَائِقَ النِّقْمَةِ, and this is a thing that can happen, especially when people, you know, get engrossed in their blessings and don't focus on what they have to do. It is possible that punishments might come as a result of mistakes that they do. As Imam Ali Salam says, سَكَرَاتِ النِّعْمَةِ, when a person is drunk, sometimes he doesn't realize what he's doing, the mistakes that he can do and the wrong decisions that he can make with regards to the future. When a person gets power, right, they can use that power in a wrong way. Just an example is, for example, the way the United States used the nuclear weapons, right? How can you just kill 70,000 people and, you know, another 80,000, 100,000 people in a second, in a split second, you know? Why does this happen? This is one of the reasons, is that when a person, when a community starts to get so many blessings, and then they start to become blind, they start to become drunk with those blessings. They think they are special and they can do whatever they want and no one is going to stop them. You see? Now, this is a very big mistake, but there are smaller mistakes that can be made as a result of this state, this psychological state that people may face as a result of blessings.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سيد رزي, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says here, "Wahdharu bawa'iq al-niqmati," that be careful. Imam Ali alayhi salam himself is warning the people. So as a leader, when you see that many blessings are coming, immediately channel the energy of the people to think about the coming future. Remind them about things that can happen. Remind them about not being too much focused and transfixed with what they have. And then tell them, if they are not careful about it, what dangers they can face, the punishments that can come, the results of their actions. And then he goes on to say, وَتَثَبَّتُوا فِي قَتَامِ الْعِشْوَةِ. He says, then, what happens sometimes is that in the near future, apart from, being engrossed in your blessings and maybe making mistakes and later on getting some repercussions and some punishments, there's also a possibility that different factors cause the social environment to be overshadowed with doubts and confusions. وَتَثَبَّتُ فِي قَتَامِ الْعِشْوَةِ. Here, if the word قَتَامِ الْعِشْوَةِ basically means an environment that is filled with dust and smoke and kind of a state of darkness, which is a kind of it's an allegory that shows a state of confusion. So when there is confusion, Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to tell the people to be firm, tathabbatu. And what here firmness means is that whenever you are confused, you refer to the main criteria that have been there in the Quran. That means you refer to the usul, basically, the roots of your beliefs, the roots that are firm, the muhkamat, those ideas that are completely clear, refer them back to those, and therefore you will be able to come out of that confusion. So tathabbatu here means that be firm in those principles, those things that are very clear in the Quran, in the riwayat, and in your beliefs with regards to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and those confusions will go away. These are certain challenges that a community can face, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is preparing them for this. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
In the blessed month of Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine because of Israel's policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Ramadan, one of the most sacred months for Muslims worldwide, blends spiritual introspection with family life in the community, especially during the breaking of the fast known as Iftar. But for the inhabitants of war-ravaged Gaza, this month will be different from all previous ones. Gaza has been enduring a genocidal war marked by bombings, siege, and the dehumanization of Palestinians. This dehumanization turns children, pregnant women, and the elderly into legitimate targets for Israeli soldiers. Harrowing images from Gaza have become symbols of the cruelty of the settler colonial regime. This Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine due to the Israeli policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. This situation arises because Israel has failed to weaken the Hamas resistance group militarily or propose a plan for Gaza's future that does not involve Hamas as a representative of the people of Gaza. As a consequence of these abject failures, Israel has opted for a new strategy in Gaza to create a situation where no one emerges victorious, even though it is the regime that has faced defeat. The strategy of rendering Gaza uninhabitable and ungovernable involves provoking absolute chaos in the territory and creating a situation of full-scale famine. According to this toxic colonial strategy, if no political force is capable of maintaining even a minimum of governmental stability in the territory, it becomes entirely dependent on humanitarian aid. In the case of Gaza, the famine strategy designed by the Zionist colonial occupation is complemented by the distribution of humanitarian aid by the United States, described by many as a show reinforcing the dependency of the Palestinian territory and keeping it in a state of permanent chaos. The images of malnourished Palestinian bodies have become common on social media sites in recent days, even though the mainstream Western media continues to reduce these colossal human losses into cold statistics. The graphic images of mutilated bodies or malnourished babies are part of the daily reality faced by Palestinians of Gaza. The issue is not to create despair or evoke sympathy, but to expose the atrocities of the Zionist colonial occupation regime, which has assumed frightening proportions since 7th of October last year. Israel obsessively concerns itself with its public image, making desperate attempts to hide its genocidal crimes. However, in the battle for narratives, Zionist Hasbara, the propaganda organ of the colonial entity, has failed to conceal the reality of genocide and starvation it has imposed on Palestinians. During this holy month, it is also important to highlight the colonial expansion in other parts of Palestine, such as the occupied West Bank. Recently, the colonial regime approved the construction of more illegal settlements in the region. Many tougher restrictions have also been imposed on Palestinian worshippers from accessing the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the sacred month of Ramadan, with reports of multiple deadly raids on several parts of the occupied city of Al-Quds recently resulting in the martyrdom of at least 4 Palestinians. One of them was a 13-year-old teenage Palestinian boy who was shot and martyred by an Israeli sniper whilst bursting firecrackers outside his house near Shufat camp in occupied city of Al-Quds. The genocide and starvation in Gaza are meticulously designed to inflict harm and create atrocious conditions for the local population. Several Gaza residents have spoken about the deliberate destruction of farmland in the area, aiming to keep the population subdued and deprived of any ability to feed themselves. The destruction of fertile soil in Gaza with the clear aim of causing famine can also be understood through the decision of the occupying regime to flood tunnels in Gaza with seawater. According to several experts, this action would have led to the destruction of these soils and their potential agricultural use. Amid death and destruction, Israel continues its psychological warfare against Palestinians of Gaza. The leaflets dropped by the regime urge people to feed the needy, which rights activists perceive as a cruel irony given the situation of famine imposed by Israel itself. The message of feeding the needy reveals the insignificance of Palestinian lives to the colonial forces. Furthermore, it underscores the dehumanization of the Palestinian population and, along with it, the normalization of extermination, domination, exploitation, premature death, and even conditions worse than death, such as ruthless torture. For decades, Palestinians have lived in constant anticipation of death, a reality dating back before even 1947. Colonized individuals often anticipate degradation, humiliation, and murder. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim community is particularly aware of the divine blessings in their daily lives. The notion of divinity should not be interpreted as something separate from earthly reality. On the contrary, the divinity of the Holy Quran implies a political struggle to establish a just community in this world. We cannot speak of justice, much less build a just society, while Gaza and the rest of Palestine continue to suffer genocide and starvation. The English website of Al Mayadeen Television Network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Ramadan, the month of fasting and divine grace, has commenced again. Fasting is not merely an abstention from food, but an exercise in self-restraint and self-discipline. It's also the time for Muslims to reflect on the challenges that they face and reaffirm their commitment to the Quranic teachings of unity and standing up against all forms and manifestations of evil. At the moment, the most pressing issue for Muslims is related to the besieged Gaza Strip, where the US-backed Israeli war of genocide, now in its 6th month, has already claimed over tens of thousands of precious lives, many of them Palestinian women and children. The efforts to broker a truce between the commencement of the holy month, in which the Holy Quran was revealed in its entirety, failed to materialize due to the occupying regime's hard-nosed stance. With Israel intent on committing more massacres and war crimes ahead of a potential invasion of southern Gaza Strip, city of Rafah, it is clear that securing the release of Israeli captives in Gaza was never high on Israel's agenda. What they seek is the obliteration of Hamas, which in reality means the Palestinians of Gaza. As the month of mercy, Ramadan has always been an opportune time to bring about ceasefire agreements, as was the case between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, who agreed to a truce agreement in 2022, coinciding with the start of Ramadan that year. The ethnic Malay Muslim separatists in Thailand and the Thai government have also agreed in principle to a ceasefire spanning the holy month of Ramadan and the Thai festival of Songkran in mid-April. Earlier this week, the UN Security Council also adopted a UK-drafted resolution that called for a Ramadan ceasefire in Sudan amid the country's devastating civil war. One of the reasons Ramadan is known as the month of mercy is because the gates of heaven are open, while those of hell are considered closed to the sincere believers. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In these beautiful days of Ramadan, let's discuss this beautiful hadith, very beautiful hadith, which says, and this hadith is narrated from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَكَّلَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ بِالدُّعَاءِ لِلصَّائِمِينَ. Means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a lot of angels for doing prayers for sake of Sa'imeen, those who fast. It's a beautiful hadith, beautiful hadith. We always, as a mu'min, we always need prayers of other mu'min friends, mu'min brothers, mu'min sisters. And this is the philosophy of night prayer, Salatul Layl. It is recommended in the last rakat, you do dua, you do prayer for, or you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessings for all your fellows, for all your friends and family members. In this beautiful hadith, Prophet Muhammad is saying, "Inna Allah Ta'ala wakkala malaikatahu bid-du'a'i lis-sa'imin," means Allah has appointed a lot of angels. When we talk about the lots of angels, wakkala malaikatahu, malaik is a plural of malak. One malak is one angel is enough. If one angel do dua for us, it's good enough for us to achieve success. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a lot of angels, it could be in millions and billions, because there's a big amount of angels around this entire facility, this entire universe, and around the all other facilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a big amount of malaika are appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do dua. So they basically do dua, they ask blessings for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'min has to do dua for each other. But let's say if you're a mu'min and you're living in a situation, there's no mu'min around you, you're living by yourself, and if there's no one who do dua for you, who asks blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you, well, don't worry. If you remain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do your deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will appoint angels who ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy for you. And this is the great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Allah ta'ala wakkala malaikatahu bid-du'a'i lis-sa'imin. As far as you approve yourself as sa'imin, become part of sa'imin. Become, you know, when Allah says lis-sa'imin, it doesn't mean those who just do fast only 1 month in a year. No. Somehow you have to approve yourself, or you have to prove yourself as a person who fast, who love fasting, who live with fasting, who when you need anything, you go through fasting.